You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
The series is called Let Us, and so this whole series came about as I was going through, we did a series early on in the year, and I was studying the book of Hebrew, and I kept seeing where in the book of Hebrew, it keeps saying, let us, and so I want to look at some of the places in the scriptures where it says, let us, and go into that, and the purpose for that is that we would start to be encouraged through the Word of God together. That we're going to be encouraged through the Word of God together. Because that's what he's saying. When he says, let us, he's talking about me, he's talking about you. He's saying, let us do these things. Let us come together and do these things. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. I've got four sermons, and so we're going to believe God. I remember, I don't know how young I was or when this happened, but I remember as a young kid, I went to the fairground. You know, when these people come into town, they sit up in a park. Sometimes they're in Battersea Park or one of those other parks. And so these people, they come, they sit up and they have like a fairground and they do all these rides. And so I was a young kid, I went on one of these rides. I know it wasn't like one of these, like, it wasn't like Thorpe Park or Chesterton, where it's, you know, it's more professional. It's just these people, they kind of roll in, they sit up, they're doing their thing. And so I went on this ride, and this ride, what it does is it was shaped like a boat. It was shaped like a ship. And so it had loads of seats facing the middle. So seats facing that side, seats facing the other side. And you'd get on this thing, and what it would do is it would start to swing like this. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, you ever seen this thing? I don't know what they call it. Some sort of ship, they used to call it Mary Rose or the Bounty or something like that. I don't know what they called it. But I got on this thing, and I remember my mom took me to the fairground, and my sister was too young to probably come on because I was very young. And so I was this little skinny you, and I get on. And so when you get on, they have this this thing that kind of clicks to keep you in. It kind of click, 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 and it clicks, and it goes down on your lap. And when you're sitting down, it fixes you in. How many of you with me? You're tracking with me? You look lost, but don't worry. You'll be found soon. And so that comes down. So, okay, that's cool. So I'm sitting there, this little skinny you, and all of a sudden this guy comes in. I'm sure it's a guy. I'm going to say it's a guy because it just seems better. But this guy was massive. Massive in many ways. Massive. And so he sits next to me, so I sit here. And so we're in the same kind of booth. And this is where the problem happens. When the barrier comes down to fix us in, yeah, you'll figure it out now, ain't it? You'll see what's happened. When it fixes onto his frame, let's put it that way, it's like, no, hold up. There's a lot of room here, man. And so I was too embarrassed. I'm too young. I wanted to get out, but I didn't want to admit I was scared. So I'm like, oh, my days. And so this thing starts. And so I'm like, I'm okay. But then this thing is scary. This thing is no joke. This thing goes right up, nearly upside down. And then it goes back. And when it would go up, I'd come down. I'm coming out. And so I started holding on to this thing with my life. I think it scarred me because I don't think I've been to the fair since then. My wife sees it. Oh, that would be nice to go. No. And so I'm going up and I'm floating out of the seat when it comes down. And I'm holding on for my life. I want to say sometimes life can feel like that. Sometimes in life, you got to just hold on. Look, turn to someone and say, hold on. Sometimes in life, listen, how many know life has got some ups and some downs? And you're going to have to hold on to some stuff. And so we want to preach a sermon tonight. Let us hold on to Christ. And let's get into the text here. The Bible says, Hebrews 4 verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In the middle of the text, it says, let us hold fast our confession. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness. Father, you know who we are. You know what we need. Father, we come before you repentant. Father, we come before you hungry. We come before you desperate. Father, I pray that you would speak to us and you would help us today. Let Jesus be magnified. Give us the strength to hold on to Christ. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And the real church said, amen. That sounded the same, but we'll work with that. Hallelujah. I want to say that this text is encouraging us to hold on. And when we say hold on, we're talking about stay with it. How many know when you're talking about holding on, stay with it, he's talking about continuing. You had something and you need to continue. How many know we've all prayed? Those of you who are Christians, we've all prayed. We prayed what we call the sinner's prayer, and people put their hands up at the end of service and we pray with them. And what we do is we've confessed our sin. We've made a confession. When we lead you in the sinner's prayer, it's not the prayer that saves you, by the way. You know that, don't you? What it is, it's your repentant heart that saves you. The prayer is basically just, it's not like a spell that you've got to say this prayer specifically the right way. No. It's just a confession from your heart. The Bible says it's from our confession that we're saved. Those that would call upon the name of the Lord, that's what saves us. And so that's good. You've prayed, you've started, but you've got to hold on. And so many times you meet people, I prayed the prayer. Okay, it's good you prayed the prayer, but now you've got to hold on. Now you've got to stick with it. Now you've got to keep going. Now you've got to continue. See, many problems in life is that we let go of things we should have kept hold of, and we keep hold of things we should let go of. That's where many problems in life, we come into church, and God is telling us, let go of that now. Let go of the old boyfriend. Let go of the old girlfriend. Let go of that old sin. Let go. Tell someone, say, let go. You got to let go. But the problem, we don't want to let go of that, but then we don't want to hold on to the things we're supposed to hold on to. See, in our text, he says this. He says, we hold fast to our confession. Now, we're not Catholics. We don't have confessional boxes because it's not in the Bible. But when he says your confession, he's speaking about your testimony. You need to hold on to your testimony. How many of you need to hold on to your testimony? Listen, if you ain't holding on to your testimony, that thing is going to fall out, just like I would have fallen out of that boat. Your testimony, you're going to have some ups and downs. And you got saved, and as a Christian, how many know there's things that we should do and shouldn't do? And that's your testimony. If you see me after church tonight in the Falcon selling crack, you'll be like, hold up. And people are like, why is he always saying it? Because that's just the most easiest way. I don't offend no one because no one is here selling crack. And if you are, then you needed to be convicted. But think about it now. You would say, he's blown his testimony. You saw me in there, two chicky babes under my arms and getting high and getting drunk. You'd be like, he's ruined his testimony. We have listen, you need to hold on to your testimony. You're going to lose it if you don't hold on. People go back to their old ways, their old lifestyle. You're going to lose your testimony if you don't hold on to it. Not just your testimony, but your confession of Christ. When we got saved, we confessed that we were sinners, correct? Listen, if you don't confess you're a sinner, then you ain't saved yet. Because you got to admit that you're a sinner before God can save you. You admit that you're a sinner, and then you say, you know what, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's our confession. And then we believe that he died on the cross and his blood cleanses us from sin. And now we believe that his blood has cleansed and removed our sin. That's our confession. That's non-negotiable. You can't get saved any other way than Jesus Christ. That's non-negotiable. We're not going to start with Jesus and then end with Muhammad. How many know that? You need to hold on. You've drifted, man. You've drifted from the truth. There are many people that they've started with Jesus. They started with salvation. And then they've drifted. They're talking about Jesus and Satan are brothers. Jesus and Satan ain't no brothers. That's Mormons. They start with Jesus, get saved, and then afterward they talk about there's no hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. No, Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Wickedness. I'm going to behave. Sorry. If I offended you, sorry. I'm going to behave today. You start with the truth, you drift. We were saved. This is what it says in Galatians 3 verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you, crucified? That he says, this only I want to learn from you. He's asking like a kind of, this is a rhetorical question. He goes, tell me this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Obviously, by faith they got saved. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? He says, oh, foolish Galatians. He says, you guys started, you guys got saved, you genuinely got saved, you repented, you started with God, and then you drifted. You went into something else. And here he's speaking about law. And there are many people now that they got saved, they're genuinely saved, and now they're talking about becoming a black Israelite. You started, you got saved. What, did we preach black Israelite when you got saved? No. We preached Jesus from the Bible. That's when you got saved. Why then, oh foolish one, have you watched so much YouTube that you've been YouTubed? That you've gone into law talking about you don't eat pork no more. Listen, if you don't want a yam sausage, don't yam sausage. But that ain't got nothing to do with you getting to heaven or hell. Talking about the Sabbath now. Listen, we're not under the law. What did he say here? Let me ask you again. He's saying, only I want to learn from you. He says, listen, this is all I want you to tell me. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now being made perfect by flesh? You drift. And so we need to hold on, church. Just because you started well, just because I started well, I need to hold on. See, I believe that in this text, and I'm going to get into three things that are going to help us to hold on, because what he says in the beginning of our text in Hebrews 4:14, he says, seeing that we have, and then he goes on, he says, let us hold fast our confession. Seeing that we have some things, this is why we should hold on. Seeing that we have some things, and the first thing I want to say that we need to understand that we have is seeing that Jesus is a great high priest. Seeing, this is what he says. He says, seeing that you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, let me say this now. Most of us are not Jews. Most of us, when we hear about the word high priest, that means nothing to us. When we think of a priest, we're thinking of some dude in a Catholic church somewhere, and he's a priest. And sometimes we hear about priests doing madness. So when we hear priest, we're like, listen, what? So what? How does that make me want to hold on? Because I've got no. But remember, this text is in the book of Hebrews. This was written to Hebrews, Jewish people, and when they heard this, they knew what the high priest was. See, the high priest was the one, he had some responsibilities, but his main responsibility was to go into the temple or the tabernacle once a year to make atonement for all of the people. And they called it the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. I think, did I put it up there? There you go, because people might pronounce it wrong. So if you've ever heard it, the Jews still celebrate this. And if you know what it is, that's what it is. It's when the high priest would go into the tabernacle to make atonement. The Bible says in Leviticus 16, verse 34, this shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded him. And so when the Bible says that we have, that Jesus is a great high priest, it's saying, listen, hold on, because you have someone who will make atonement for you. Hold on. You have someone that makes atonement for you. The word atonement is to cover. We're talking about your sin. How many wants God to cover their sin? Listen. Atonement, to cover, to make amends, to remove, to appease the anger. See, the Bible is telling us, hold on, because you have a great high priest who makes atonement for you. Can I tell you, outside of Jesus, there is no atonement. Outside of Jesus, You may think you're here and you're like, yeah, I'm a good person, but you're not sinless. You've lied. You've thought bad against somebody. Outside of Jesus, there is no atonement. Outside of Jesus, you're going to stand before God, naked in his sight, to the truth of who you are and what you've done. But in Jesus, oh, hold on. Because in Jesus, we have a high priest who makes atonement for us. Listen, if that doesn't encourage you, you're deluded. You don't know who you are, man. You need to go home and look in the mirror and say, listen, let me really see myself. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 11, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, that the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of the creation, not that the blood of goats and calves, but with the blood of his eternal and most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You know, the Bible says that in Christ, we have eternal redemption. That is so beautiful. Think about it now. We'll be in heaven for a million years, and it's not like God's going to be like, actually, I remember what you did. Right? No. We will be in total peace. We've received eternal redemption. But not just when you get to heaven. Do you know already you are saved? That redemption has started and it's eternal. As long as you stay in Christ, your redemption is eternal. I spoke about it on Sunday. We're not talking about that you can't backslide or you can't. No, that's why the writer is saying, hold on. That's why he's telling us to hold on. People are like, oh, once saved, always saved. Once you get saved, you can't backslide. No. Then if I can't backslide, why are you telling me to hold on? If I can't fall out, why do I need to hold on? The whole point is to hold on, because as you're holding on, he says, hold on, because you have a high priest who atones for you. That means when you make mistakes, when you sin, he doesn't throw you away. When you falter, when you lie, when you hide the truth, when you go astray, he doesn't throw you away. He goes before Father, he goes before God, and he says, listen, I'm going to make an atonement for them. That is something to hold on to, church. That we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's changing you. Listen, when the guilt of sin overwhelms you, hold on, you have a high priest. When the guilt of sin overwhelms you, when the devil starts to come back and he reminds you, and you think, I don't know if I can make it, hold on. You have a high priest who makes atonement for you. When the old man starts to come back and torment you, how many have ever been tormented by your old man? I don't mean by your dad or your husband. That would be disrespectful. I'm talking about your old you. When the old you starts to rise up, you ever feel those seasons where the old you is just not letting you go, man? He's just not letting you live for Jesus. You just want to live for Jesus. That old man keeps coming back up and tell this person that and start to go like that. And listen, can I tell you, the Bible says that we have a high priest. We have a high priest. And I read it. Let me read it again in Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I am being sanctified because of what my high priest is doing. I am changing because of what he's doing. He is changing me. That gives me confidence to know that I can live this life for Jesus. If you're here today and you're like, I'm not sure if I could do this. Listen, you need to hold on. You have a high priest. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Second thing that why we need to hold on, because Jesus has passed through the heavens. That's what he said in the text. Let me read the text again. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Now, I have to go a bit deep so that you understand these terminologies. And one of the reasons why I want to preach like this is because when you read your Bible, I want you to understand it. You heard the term, you can give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach him how to fish, so he can keep eating forever. And I want to teach you. I don't want to just give you a fish. You come to church, I give you a word, and you can. No, I want to teach you how to read your Bible for yourself. I want to teach you how to go into the Bible and draw out truths and wisdom. And when you're at home reading your Bible, because I know you're good people, you love to read your Bible every day at home. I know you love it. I can just see it on your face. I can feel it on your face. I know some of you just want to read more Bible. But as you're doing that, you're going to meet with Jesus. You're going to be like, wow, look at this revelation. I've never seen this before. And you're going, and your heart is going to burn within you. Good heartburn. So we just need to go deep a bit, and then we'll come back up for some jokes. The Bible says that Jesus has passed through the heavens. Now let me read some scriptures. Hebrews 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered the present behind the veil. Say, behind the veil. You've got to remember that. Where the forerunner has entered for us. Even Jesus, having become the high priest, there's that word again, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And there's a whole other sermon I could preach about why they mention Melchizedek is because they are showing that Jesus is a legitimate priest. He's a high priest, even though he's not from the tribe of the Levites. And that, before the tribe of the Levites, because you got to remember, it was Abraham that met Melchizedek, and Abraham as Isaac as Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, then they go into Egypt, and then we have Moses. And then after that, we have the understanding of the Levitical priesthood. So before all of that, we had a priest called Melchizedek. So all of the priests don't have to be Levitical. That's just a whole another sermon. But I wanted to give that because we're deep right now. Hebrews. So the main thing I want you to draw out of the text, you see it said behind the veil. Say behind the veil again. Hebrews 9 verse 11 then says this. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, we read the scripture already, with the great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Say tabernacle. So we have behind the veil, we have tabernacle. That is not of this creation, not with blood of goats and of calves or with his own blood. He entered the most holy place. Say most holy place. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And so when the Bible says that Christ has passed through the heavens, and we overlap it with other scripture, we understand he's talking these terminologies. Behind the veil, the tabernacle, the most holy place. Now, I want to show you a picture of the tabernacle. Have we got it here? Did we have it? Okay, so here we have the temple. Sorry, this is not, that's good. That's good. Where's it gone? Is it there and not there? It's here. Okay. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's happening there. Go back to the other one. Perfect. So here you have coming from your, as we're looking at this from the right, this is how you would enter in the gate, beautiful. You'd go through the women's court, and then you would go past the altar, past that bit there, and you see the holy place. That's where the high priest would go into. Only the high priest can go in there. There is a Jewish tradition because the presence of God would come down there. And so the high priest would go into that area there, and that's where he would have an offering for himself and for the children of Israel. And so that's where he would go. And so when the Bible, let's have the next one. Have we got the next one? Can the next one come up? Next one. Perfect. And so here you see a plan. And so you're going from the right, and you go to the holy place. Now, inside the holy place, there's the holies of holies. And to get in there, what there would be is like a curtain. There'd be like a curtain there. And in that curtain, that curtain, they call it the veil. So when the Bible says that Christ has entered, he's passed through the veil, that's telling you he's gone into the holies of holies. But we read the scripture that said he's in the holies of holies. But in the scripture that we read, it said something specific. It said this. It said, he's entered into the tabernacle that's not made by hands. See, the Bible says that the earthly tabernacle and the earthly temple were just models of what is already in heaven. These things are already in heaven. And so the Bible says that when Jesus, who is our high priest, where is he? He's gone into this holy place. Now why? Okay, Pastor. So Jesus is in the holy place. He's gone beyond the veil, behind the veil. He's in it. Why does that encourage me? Why does that make me want to hold on? Because let me tell you this now, is that what that means is that he's in the place where the priest would become a mediator for the people of God. This is where Jesus, this is where the high priest would come, and he would go into the holies of holies, and this is where God is meeting man. This is where God comes down, and the high priest is mediating for you. Why do we need to know this? Is because in life, when you're going through things, to go to God, me and you, we're not holy enough just to walk bowl up to God by ourselves. The only way that we can get is that we have a mediator. We have someone on our side. See, a priest really is someone who represents the people for God. Hebrews 5 verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men, so he's a man, appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that we may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. A priest is from among men, and he's appointed for men. We have an advocate. 1 John 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if any of you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have someone who is speaking on our behalf when we sin. We have someone, when we're weak, who's speaking on our behalf. Jesus is an advocate for you. Jesus is on your side. In the heavenly realm, we have someone who is on our side. This is why we need to hold on to the advocate. The word advocate means assistance. See, when you need assistance, it's because Jesus is in the holies of holies. You're guaranteed assistance. It's because Jesus is in the holy of holies. He's advocating for you. No, give them some assistance right now. No, they're struggling right now. No, heal them right now. No. He's doing all of this. He's the advocate. You know what the word advocate means? A legal aid or legal assistance. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 34, who is he who condemns? Is it Christ? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. See, this is why you need to hold on, because without Christ, who's going to intercede for you? Who's going to intercede for you? Listen, sometimes when you're in church, you go through difficulties. How many of we go through difficulties? Bible didn't say we weren't going to go through difficulties. The Bible says there were two guys, one built his house upon the sand, one built his house upon the stone, but both of them went through a flood. Both of them went through a storm. Both of them went through some tough times. We're going to go through tough times. Sometimes people go through tough times in church and they say, oh, I'm going through this tough time. Thank God you're in church and you're going through this tough time, because now you have an advocate. Because you could have went through that thing 6 months ago before you were saved and you wouldn't even have an advocate. This is why we see 12 men every day committing suicide. Because in this country, because men have lost hope. Because they have no advocate. No one to go to. No one to speak to. And you say, oh no, I'm big and bad. That will never happen to me. Maybe you ain't gone through the storm they've gone through. Thank God that the storms that I've been through, my raggedy little life, I was saved at 22. And the storms that I've gone through, that I've held on to Jesus, because I realized I had an advocate. When everything was shaking around me, when I did not know what was up or down or left or right, I had an advocate. I went to Jesus. He's interceding for me. He's saying, give him strength right now. Give him a job right now. Help her out right now. Build her up. You have someone on the inside. I remember I had this studio flat. I got this studio flat. And so God has been so good to me. I was living with a brother in the church, and so I filled out this application form to get a council place. And so many of you would like, yeah, I'd like a council place, Pastor, man. It's a blessing, man. And so people were telling me, oh, it's going to take you ages. You're a single guy. You got no kids. It's not like you're, you know, you got, anyway. And so I handed him a form. Within 7 weeks of them handing in the form, they gave me the key.
7 weeks, I stepped into the office. 7 weeks later, I'm stepping into a new house. How many would like that? I have an advocate. You have an advocate. Look at someone and say, hold on. Listen, you have an advocate. So I had this little I had this studio place, and so that was good for me. And I had this studio place. It was like a Victorian conversion. How many like those type of things, yeah? And so I had the top floor, I had a little view, amen. But it's a studio place, and I'm thinking, listen, I need to get married soon. How many know it's a good thing for a man to think about those things? Amen. And so I need to get married soon. And so, listen, I don't want a studio when my wife comes, man. I want a one bedroom. You know, a little front room and some bedroom, and so we can have some bedroom time and some front room time. And amen. Hey, God is good, man. Look at someone and say, it's righteous. Amen. And so, listen. So I rung up the housing association I was with. I rung them up, and I spoke to this woman, and I said, listen, I've been in this flat for a little while, and I was thinking about how do I go about getting a one bedroom. She was like, listen, you need to be thanking God you got that. She wasn't saying that, but she was like, you need to be happy you got that studio place. You're a single guy. I said, I know, but you know, my circumstances might change. And this is what the woman said to me. She said, okay, in your road, two doors down, there is a ground floor flat, and it's a one bedroom. It's got garden. It's nice. It's got a big front room. Write me a letter saying that you're willing to give up your flat. It was just two doors, literally. That was, I think I lived at 99. I moved to 91 on the same road. Literally, it was just two doors. Two doors down. And so the woman said to me, write me a letter. She said, write me a letter. And so I wrote her this letter, and I said, I'd like to... have this place and blah, 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 blah. And so I didn't hear nothing for about a week. And so I called her up and I said, any news on that? And she said, oh, yeah, I got your letter. I took it to the head of the housing association. Put it on his desk. I sat there, wait for him to read it. He approved it. It's stamped. We're sending you out a letter. You've got the place. Now, I want you to think about this now. Do you know why I got that place? Ultimately, God. But you know why as well? I had someone on the inside. That woman went into the manager's office and she put it on his desk and she waited for him to stamp it. It was God that made her do that. But this is how it is. When you've got an advocate, when you've got someone on the inside, this is why when you hear, when the Bible says, hold on, because you have a high priest and he has gone through the heavens, he has entered the veil, he is in the Holy of Holies, God is meeting the holy and the unholy. It's meeting there. That's where it's meeting. God is representing, Jesus is representing you. He's bringing you. Jesus is holy, we understand that. But he's bringing the unholy, you, into the holy. You have an advocate. Hold on. Let me close. The last thing. The Bible says, let me read the scripture again. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest, we've dealt with that, who has passed through the heavens, we've dealt with that. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We understand that. This is what we want to get into, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says that hold on because Jesus sympathizes with us. Hold on, because Jesus sympathizes with us. See, I want to tell you today, Jesus not only knows what you're going through, but he feels what you're going through. Okay, I'm telling you, that is massive. Jesus not only knows what you're going through, he feels what you're going through. And the reason why we know that, and the reason why he can do that, and he knows that, and he feels it, because he became one of us. This is the amazing thing about the gospel. Listen, you could travel the world and try to find some deity, and people say, but there's many religions in the world. There is many religions in the world. But there is only one where you see that God realizes that man by himself cannot save himself. And so he puts on flesh and becomes a man. And the Bible says that he suffers like how we suffer. He was tempted like how we're tempted. but without sin. Hebrews 2 verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. See, what Jesus did was this. Jesus put himself on pause. Think about it now. Jesus is in eternity with God the Father. So it's God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, all the angels. And so they're just having praise and worship and just getting down. And okay, listen. Man is lost. Man is lost. Stop the party. Record stops. Okay, we're going to have to break up this party for a bit. I'm going to have to go down there. I'm going to have to put on flesh. And so he comes down, but he doesn't come down like a king. Like the Bible says that he doesn't come down and he's, you know, royal and everything. He comes down and he's born in a barn to the most poorest people, two raggedy people. Brother can't even get a hotel. Yeah. He's born. Who are the people around him? Shepherds, man. Wise men come, they do their thing. Then he's living in this as a carpenter's son, not a prince, not in a castle. He's living like that. When he begins his ministry, men turn on him, men speak against him, men accuse him, men say all those things. And then eventually he goes to the cross and he dies the most painful death. God put himself on pause. Jesus put himself on pause so that he could experience everything you feel. Listen, if you're here today and you feel lonely, Jesus has felt loneliness. If you're here today and you felt the pull of sin and temptation, Jesus has felt it. He's felt the pull of it. He has not sinned. How many know temptation is not sin? You can be tempted. It doesn't mean that you sinned. So Jesus was tempted. Jesus has gone through. Pastor, I'm broke right now. I'm struggling financially. Jesus has felt poverty. The Bible says, the birds of the air have the nest, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus has experienced. Oh, people have left me and abandoned me. Remember with the disciples, they run off. He's been lied upon and betrayed. He's gone through every spectrum of emotion and he has suffered exactly as you suffered. And he knows what you're going through. He don't just know, he feels it. When you come to Jesus and you pray and you pour out and you say, you know what? I have an advocate. I have one who makes atonement. But it's not just that he makes atonement and he's an advocate. When you come to him, he feels what you feel. He sympathizes with you. See, Jesus, how many know Jesus knows all things? He sees all things. And that can be encouraging, but that can also be scary because he saw you. Yeah, he saw you, man. He saw you before you came here. And so maybe some of you are like, praise God, he saw me praying and preaching and witnessing and reading my Bible. And maybe some of you are like, oh, he saw me looking at that. He sees all things. He knows all things. Jesus, he scrutinizes. He goes through your life. He's going to scrutinize. He's going to judge you. You're going to stand before him. I'm going to stand before him. Every idle word, everything has going to be scrutinized. But not only does he scrutinize, he sympathizes. See, if God only scrutinized, we'd be finished. And maybe that's how you see God, that he just scrutinizes you. That's your God that you've put in your mind. He's just going to judge you. He's just scrutinizing you. He's just watching you. No. The Bible says, yeah, he does scrutinize. He does watch us. He knows what we're doing. But he also sympathizes. He sympathizes. And you know that sympathy is a response. He responds. What does the Bible say in our text? He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Listen, that's a high priest that I want to go to. If there was 10 high priests there, and I see one, and that guy's going to sympathize with my weakness, he's been through what I've been through, I'm going to this brother here. See, once you've experienced something, you know it in a total different way. How many know you can say the right thing in the wrong way? You can say the right thing in the wrong way because you just ain't feel it. You've never felt what that person is going through, man. How many know, before you're married, you talk big talk? Yeah, when I'm married, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Yeah, okay, keep running your mouth, single man, single woman. Let me just give you advice. When you're single, just keep that to yourself because you sound stupid. Anyway, no, that wasn't nice. It's just not wise. Yeah, I wouldn't make my... Listen, that's why you're not married, yeah. If you don't have kids, you shouldn't be criticizing other people's kids. Yeah, look at the kids. Why are they always running around? Why are the kids dressed like that? Why cream those kids? Listen. If you ain't got no kids, you ain't got no business criticizing other people about their kids. You ain't felt what they felt. You don't know what that is about. See, when you've gone through things, it gives you a different dynamic. How many know who Elizabeth Elliot is? Elizabeth Elliot is the woman who went and became a missionary to the same people that killed her husband. How many know she could talk to us about forgiveness? If you know the testimony of some of the pastors in our fellowship, Pastor Joe Campbell, Pastor Scott Lamb was here, they lost children. Children that are... I think in their teenage, 16, 20s, lost their children, man. How many know they can speak to us about dealing and handling loss? They can speak to us, man. Pastor Warner, we all know Pastor Warner. How many know Pastor Warner can speak to us about living victorious over obstacles? See, we would listen to these people because they would speak and we'd know they've been through it. Can I tell you, when Jesus calls you and he deals with you, he's dealing with you because he's been through it. The Bible says, hold on. Let us not depart. Let us not drift away. Let us stick with. Let's hold on to what we started with. Let's hold on, because as much as life is throwing you about and you're confused and you don't know what's going on and you're trying and you're not trying and whatever, just hold on, because you have a high priest who makes atonement for you. You've made mistakes. Get back up again. Dust yourself off and keep going, because he's made atonement for you. You have an advocate. I'm here. No one knows me. No one knows what I'm going through. No one's on my side. No one's calling me. Well, maybe that's true, but you still have an advocate. You have one. Hold on, because he's going to deal with you with sympathy. He responds to your weakness with his sympathy. Hold on. How many know we got stuff to hold on to? We've got a reason to hold on. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.